fun.
Great weekend. The voice you're listening to right now is that of Kate Delaney. That's me. I had a good weekend. I did. It was rough, but we slogged through it. I know some of you did the same thing. Probably you might have spun out a few times on the ice. Hopefully not. In the Midwest, my favorite, the flyover states. I know that you took it hard in Iowa, in Minneapolis. Now they're saying that some of that is spreading from Illinois on to the East Coast. It's like a cough. You spew your germs, and in the Midwest, you start it, and you spew that bad weather to the Northeast once again, rubbing off on the people in Philadelphia and in Boston and New York, because they're going to get some nasty freezing drizzle, and it's deadly stuff. Speaking of deadly, this didn't happen in our country. It did a couple of times at nightclubs, but this is a terrible, terrible thing in Brazil. 233 people are part of a big crowd. What are they doing over the weekend? What else? Partying. Letting it all hang out at a nightclub. But fireworks might be to blame for the deaths of the 230 people. They were the panicked partygoers who were gasping for breath and fought to escape the stampede to get out of the nightclub. It was crowded. So all of a sudden, within seconds, you know what this is. You got a small space, you got flames, and you got that toxic smoke that strangles you. And that's exactly what happened. The firefighters show up. They couldn't get inside the nightclub because you had bodies that were blocking the entryway. And what happened was a flare, or maybe a firework is what they're saying, that was lit up by a band member started the fire in this place, in this area. It's just outside of, Brazil, in southern Brazil. The actual place is Santa Maria, which is a university city. You got about 260,000, 270, something like that. That's what the population there is anyway. But they say that there were so many people that were there to see the group that was playing, and it was a pyrotechnic show. And now they're talking about manslaughter charges as a possibility could be filed in this case, because we've seen this before in the United States, where you have the images of just body after body after body, and they're swinging axes and sledgehammers, anything, to get inside. And all you see is people who are dead or, frankly, injured, and the injured people are flying out into the street, and most of the people, within seconds, you're going to suffocate with that kind of smoke. I mean, that's what's going to happen. So all they can do is take all the bodies out and line them up, and then they have to go through that terrible process of trying to identify, in some cases, kids who were under 20 years old. Oh, and they, just like in several of these other things that have happened, there was a guy that was part of the band that died, an accordion player who died, and the rest of the band made it out okay. The nightclub just had one exit. One exit, that's it. And what a tragedy that is, because they didn't, they had no way to get out. If you remember this, they've had a couple of these in other places. They had one that was awful in Buenos Aires, where seven members of a band were sentenced to prison for starting the flames there. It was the same thing. Overcrowded nightclub, 194 people died. You had another nightclub in Russia where 150-some people died, and that was in December of 2009. There was an indoor fireworks display that ignited. So then you got, whoops, a plastic ceiling that's got branches, and then that's it. And then here's the one I know that so many of you remember. I was back east, and a lot of people were talking about this. Remember the rock band Great White? And this was 2003, like I said. 100 people died, and they had pyrotechnics that were used as a stage prop, and the soundproofing foam on the walls and the ceiling, this was in a Rhode Island club, caught fire. And that was it. You know, it was terrible. People crawling over each other to get out, and then within minutes, they're choking to death because of the smoke. And, oh, man, it's awful. And already in Brazil and outside of Brazil, the buzz on Twitter or other social networks are saying, you know, this group has to pay for what they did. They have to. They're getting all kinds of hostile messages because I think the people are just completely in shock. You know, that toxic smoke. You don't have a sense of direction. You got one way out, and what are you going to do? It fills up that room so quickly. It's not a surprise that you can't get out. You're blocked, and then they can't get in, and it's just pure luck. Some of them that were able to get out fast enough, maybe they were by the door or whatever, but a terrible thing. And how many of you have been to a show where you think, it's getting kind of crazy on that stage, and, you know, it's looking a little unsafe to me. How many people, raise your hand, because I have those special infrared glasses where I can see all of this vast audience of America tonight in the U.S. and other areas, because we have people listening to us in South America. How many people, when you go into a nightclub or any kind of supper club or restaurant or whatever, do you look around and look for the exits or look to be seated somewhere where you might be near some kind of an exit or close to an exit? I have to say I never used to do that, but I do it now because I have family members that were volunteer firemen, and they would tell me these terrible stories. And so once where I would be kind of blind to that and not paying attention, just assuming. See, that's the thing, never assume. I just assume, it's down the hallway. Now I look, even in hotels, I'll look to see, okay, so just in case, and hopefully this doesn't happen, but I know where to go. Poof, right down to the right and then down to the left and go all the way out the building. And I don't know that a lot of people do that. I hope some of you are just kind of catch your eye and just look, especially if you're in the nightclub situation and it's a tight nightclub. Some of the best bands, when you go to see retro bands or whatever, will play in cool, small places. And you would assume, okay, it's okay, but then that they start to light something up and then they don't think about, nobody's telling them and there's miscommunication. They don't realize what's in that club that can catch fire, and then it's, you know, too late. And the death toll in that keeps going up, too, by the way. Now I got a new number, 245. So there are 245 people, kids, just going to listen to a band and dying as a result of it is, man, that's inexcusable. They were through like five songs, and then they look up, one of the band members is saying that they looked up and they see, wow, the roof is burning, because they realize something happened. There's sparks, and they're saying they never had trouble before ever in any of the places where they had this machine. They call it Sputnik. It's a machine they use to create effects with sparks, and they say that's never, ever happened before. And see, there's always that first time. And there's the thing. Where are the fire extinguishers? How come something didn't go off immediately? Obviously, they didn't have that. And one exit is deadly in a tight nightclub. You look around for those exits? Curious. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Hang with us.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Dwayne Daly from Midas Resources, January 25th, 2013. Gold opened up this morning at $1,668.75. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,710.29, a half ounce for $855.14, or a quarter ounce for $427.57. That's $1,710.29, $855.14, or $427.57.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power, cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. Mind Regard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.
Safe, my friends out there. If you're driving on some of that ice, can be tricky. I know you want to really gun it when you think you've got some air, if you know what I mean. You got some space, but be careful. That's when that ice will catch and spin you out. Oh, I've seen some nasty wrecks. Bill is listening to us in Mississippi. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Yes, I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. I just want to point out something. It seems that architects and planners for these sorts of buildings just don't seem to learn, because this recent fire, I mean, the one, of course, up in New England, and the one just over the past weekend, are nothing new. Going back to the early 20th century, there was the horrific, infamous Cotton Club fire in Natchez, Mississippi.
Yes.
And then I think that there was one in New York City, but more recently than that.
And, there was, yeah.
The same kind of thing just keeps going. I mean, the other entrances are always locked, and people can get out. There's one, you know, way to get in, and that's it. And I don't understand why there can't be more planning and more ideas about if you can think of it, it will happen, kind of a thing.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, it's ridiculous. You just said it, Bill. You add up some of these fires, you go back in history, too. You can go much further back than some of the ones that I mentioned, and not just in the United States, but all over the place where people are trapped and they can't get out and it doesn't make any sense. I gave a couple different examples. The one in the U.S., that just the Great White one, a lot of people are still talking about how awful that was. But there was one that was huge in New York, and it was the same thing where people were crammed in. There's the idea, and you know what it is, Bill, get as many people in. I own the nightclub. I'm getting them in. I want the, you know, I'm getting the dollars for the band, and then I want my cut of it, and I got this small venue, and I'm just trying to fill her up. But you shouldn't get a license then if you don't have proper exits and you don't have the right kind of equipment if some kind of fire happens. And plus, hello, Bill, don't you do sound checks with groups? Don't you look at what they have in their show?
Sure. I mean, someone should.
Someone should.
I've done sound for different, you know, organizations and stuff, and I think of all kinds of, you know, scenarios and so forth. But someone should be looking at an overview, and of course we do have codes and stuff, but for some reason these things just kind of flip through. And that Cotton Club fire, of course, that was way before any of our time. I think it was early 20th century. But the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of people in the Natchez area can still tell about, you know, what's been passed down to them generation to generation about that famous fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and you think about the, like I said, you think about the Cotton Club, and you think about the jazz and the music that came out of there, and I can just imagine the tale that they tell and how scary that was. As, you know, they were talking about it. What were they saying? It was like streets on fire, how awful it was when that happened. Just, yeah. You don't learn from history. You know, a famous night, a terrible night, a terrible fire. I don't get it. I'm with you, Bill. I don't understand. You know, that whole thing about history is bound to repeat itself. Well, it's like time that history doesn't repeat itself. And here's the thing, Bill. I think they should hold these nightclub owners responsible. Let them go on trial for all those deaths.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not right. You got to work with the band. You got to know who you're bringing in. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. You got to, you know, if I own a club, listen, I get it. You're trying to make a profit. It's all about that profit. They're trying to turn the buzz, get the buzz going, get the groups in, all that stuff. But, and I'm thinking back, I'm trying to think in my day, growing up in Jersey, Philadelphia, I know that I went to a lot of clubs that were smaller, but in my mind, I remember, and I could be wrong about this, that there were at least a couple of exits. There were at least a couple of exits where we didn't feel like we were trapped in there. One of them was called Emerald City, and that was pretty big. It was a big venue, but a lot of times people would go in there, and it would seem like it was really small. And I don't remember any kind of show where anybody used fire, but there were shows in there. You know, you could always have some of the fires that have happened. They've had electrical shorts. It's not always about the fireworks. There are a lot of different things that can cause a fire in a club, depending on what's at the club, meaning if there was a styrofoam that caught on fire for that one club in Rhode Island. There was another fire that happened in a nightclub in Quito, Ecuador, where it was about one of the band members had some kind of a short, and then that started the fire. So yeah, those kind of things can happen. Let's go to Bud, our pal in New Jersey. Hey, Bud, how are you?
Pretty good, Kane. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Okay. New Jersey, I'm also a fire inspector here, too, besides a cop. I carry many titles. New Jersey has one of the roughest fire codes in the nation. Now, it goes by the square footage of a building. The caller was right about architects. The older the building you have, the more dangerous it is, because back then they had asbestos in the walls and the old wiring, the whole bit. When you're going to do a building, redo it, you must upgrade the building into egress doors, sprinkler systems, and it goes on and on. To get the occupant load of a building, you have to start with your square footage. So suppose you have, let's say, 1,000 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose you have a stage in there and tables and chairs. Well, let's say a table has four chairs. You have to count everything up on square footage plus your stage. And let's say a bar you have. You count all that up and you subtract it off your 1,000 square footage. Now that tells you how many people you're allowed in that building. That also determines how many exits you're going to need for that building. Now we get into the sprinkler system. You got to have a sprinkler system, wet or dry, on the stage or wherever it is located in the building. And this is how things are done. But now we're getting into some fire inspectors like to get paid off, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're right, because again, what happens is the club doesn't want to will cost them too much money, or they don't want to be able to have to do that. So you're right. That's what they're looking for. Yeah.
So everybody's trying to cut costs to make that money dollar by forgetting about people's lives.
I agree. And sadly, I mean, there's been some horrific fires over the years because of that. Bud, thanks for that explanation and giving us the lowdown on it. You're right. And I didn't realize that about New Jersey. Bravo for the Garden State for having some of those stricter codes, because they have a lot of clubs in North Jersey and in South Jersey. And so it would be, frankly, dangerous. You go in, you have all these bands playing. You know, there was a Coconut Grove fire. I remember reading about this that happened way back in the 40s. I forgot about this one, and this was a terrible one. This was in Boston, and here's the thing. What happened there is some of the doors were bricked up or bolted shut, and the entrance to the club was a kind of a revolving door, and they had some flammable decorations in the building in cloth drapes and palm trees and all that kind of stuff. So the club was licensed for 500 people. They had a horrible fire there. There's about 1,000 people in the building. You know how many people died? 492 people. In this case, they think that it was a busboy lighting a match to see while he was replacing a light bulb because it was so dark. And then within 5 minutes, the basement was totally engulfed, and they had people, the dead, just stacked up in one stairwell, and the exit door was, like I said, bolted shut, and people couldn't get out. And it was obviously just absolutely awful to see. And if you today, if you go into Boston, I totally forgot about all this, you can see in the they've got a plaque embedded in one of the sidewalks right near there, right by where Coconut Grove, saying that, you know, this was erected in the memory of the people that died in that fire. What an awful tragedy. And there, like Bud saying, with the codes, because of that, they made different changes in the fire codes and improvements in the treatment of even burn victims, not just in Boston, but across the nation, because this was so horrific to people, they just couldn't believe it. All right, we're going to switch gears. 'Tis the season for awards, I know. Do we care about what the actors are doing? And sometimes it's a good signal of maybe a flick you might want to go and see. So the SAG Awards, the latest, I mentioned Argo got Best Picture. But we had a conversation with Stephen Shohat. It's our weekly re-rack over Django, another film that's up for Oscar's Best Picture. Take a listen to that. That's on the flip side.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. Why Ally C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
In this unpredictable world, disaster can strike anyone. That's why an essential part of any emergency survival plan must be stove in a can. When power goes out and gas lines are down, the portable, safe, easy-to-use stove in a can cooks food up to 4 hours and boils water in as little as 5 minutes. Stove in a can comes with everything you need. The stove, fuel, even waterproof matches, all in a compact, durable, heavy-duty container. Plus, the all-natural, non-explosive, 100% waterproof fuel source can be stored indefinitely. Say goodbye to the hassle and danger of propane, lighter fluid, or gas. Stock up now and protect your family with Stove in a Can, starting out at $29.99. Special bundle offers now available with a 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. Order yours today at StoveInACan.com. That's StoveInACan.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's your name, boy?
His name is Django Freeman.
Why'd you dig him up?
Well, a fortuitous turn of events brought Django and myself together.
I've heard tell about you. I heard you've been telling everybody that Mandingos ain't no damn good. Ain't nothing nobody is selling is worth buying. I'm curious. What makes you such a Mandingo expert?
I'm curious what makes you so curious.
What did you say, boy?
Calm down, Butch. No offense given. None taken.
Monsieur Condi, I'd appreciate if you could direct your line of inquiry toward me.
One, you do not have anything to drink. Can I get you a tasty refreshment?
Yes, I'll have a beer.
Wunderbar. Roscoe, a beer for the man with the beard, and I will have a Polynesian pearl diver. Do not spare the rum.
All right, that is a little slice of Django Unchained. I was reading The New Yorker today and listened to this high praise from one of the writers. I have to face it, Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained is his most entertaining piece of movie making since Pulp Fiction. Some of it, particularly in the first half, is excruciatingly funny. And all of it has been brought off in a spirit of a burlesque merriment, violent absurdity, pushed to the level of flagrancy and beyond. That's the place where Tarantino is happiest. Out at the edge, playing with genre conventions, turning expectations inside out, ginning up the violence to exploitation movie levels. Sounds like The New Yorker, doesn't it? High praise, though, you have to say that. This is a movie that we talked about last week that is among a whole bunch of others up for Best Picture for this year's Academy Awards. Stephen Shohat joins us each and every week. He's the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Stephen, do you agree with that little piece from The New Yorker about Quentin Tarantino and Django Unchained?
Well, I liked it, but you know, I also like Jackie Brown, which you know, didn't do as well, and I also like Kill Bill. So I mean, but you know, I mean, Django was very entertaining. I mean, obviously, one thing that's happening with this movie is Tarantino is talking. I mean, on the one hand, he says that we need to take the, you know, the history seriously, and on the other hand, he's saying that Django is the descendant of the character Shaft, played by Richard Roundtree, that he's like his great grandfather or something. So I mean, you know, it is operatic and you know, typical over the top violence, and I think people are used to that in Tarantino movies.
Yeah, you know what? In this movie, as you say, the people are used to certain things with Tarantino movies, but in this movie, he uses the N word, they say, 110 times. And is it because of what the movie's about and all that other stuff that, hey, this is, you know, this is okay, it works for this film, and so there's no reason to question the whole racist, anti-racist, blah, blah, blah thing?
You know, he would say that he's trying to get to the truth of the character. His critics, like Spike Lee, would say that it's greatly overdone. His defenders, like Samuel Jackson, would say that he's an artist and he's trying to tell a story. And what does it matter whether he's white or black? I mean, the language being used is representative of the time. So, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, I enjoy Tarantino movies, but, you know, I'd probably be uncomfortable using that language if I was writing something. So it's tough to say. But the one thing about Tarantino, he always stands up for himself. I mean, that's been his history the whole his whole life. I mean, early on, before he became a filmmaker, he got thrown in jail for not paying parking tickets. And it was L.A. County, and he called his mother to bail him out. His mother wouldn't do it. She felt he should be punished. She called the sheriff's department and said, please put him in a cell so he's not facing, you know, people who might want to hurt him. And the sheriff's department decided not to do that. And he was lying in bed, and somebody came up to him and grabbed his blanket. And he started yelling at the guy grabbing his blanket, and he was outnumbered. And three of the prisoners in the jail, who happened to be a member of the L.A. Crips, defended him and admired him for standing up for himself. And you know, even though it was a horrible experience going to jail, he felt he could write about that type of situation with more authenticity. And throughout his career, he stood up for himself. Harvey Weinstein wanted to cut out the scene where Michael Madsen is torturing another character in the movie Reservoir Dogs, and Tarantino absolutely refused. I mean, the one way Harvey Weinstein handled him was with Kill Bill, when there was so much material there, and Harvey figured, well, I don't want to have another fight with him, so why don't we split this into two movies, and that way he gets everything and we'll make more money out of it. But his vision, his art, he stood up for himself, and he's kind of made a public warning to Spike Lee that if he ever runs into him, there might be an encounter. You know, maybe they're a little older, so maybe that's fizzled a little bit.
Yeah, let's hope so. In the his success is extraordinary, though. You mentioned Kill Bill and splitting the movies, and that's a great story about that. And Pulp Fiction really setting him apart. I mean, this is an unlikely story in a sense, isn't it? Tell the listeners how he started out.
Yeah, well, he was working at the store Video Archives in Manhattan Beach, which is now gone, and he was just an expert at you know, people would come in and ask about films, and he's like an encyclopedia, and you know, a lot of the young guys there talked about doing something. He went ahead, made a film called My Best Friend's Birthday, a short film. Took 3 years to make. Wasn't really anything he could show to anybody. Some of it was destroyed. But it gave him confidence that he had learned from that. And then, of course, he wrote True Romance, which was optioned. But then what really got him going was Reservoir Dogs. And you know, he wrote that script. And his friend Lawrence Bender, who he met at a party, said, "This is the greatest thing I've ever read. You know, give me a couple months, and I'll see if I can get it made." And Quentin Tarantino said, "I'll give you 2 months, and if you don't find somebody who's going to make it, I'm going to make it myself in the backyard with an 8mm camera." And that was the thing. He was just determined to get the movies done his way, and you know, again, not backing down at all. And you know, eventually it was picked up, and then Harvey Keitel wanted to get involved with it, which increased the budget. And Tarantino did things for Reservoir Dogs. Like, for example, he was a big admirer of the actor Lawrence Tierney, who he'd seen in a lot of film noir movies that were made back in the 40s, got to work with him. Lawrence Tierney was a terror. I mean, Lawrence Tierney used to go to bars, and he'd be bored, and he'd call the police and say, "There's a fight in the bar," and the police would show up, and he'd fight the policeman. I mean, he just did stuff like that for a good time. He used to be driven, you know, across the California border because the California police wanted to get rid of him. He was always in bar fights. And there was a moment on the set where he threatened Tarantino. And again, Tarantino stood up to him. And I think that got the other actors on board with what Tarantino was trying to do. And the one thing about him, and of course, Reservoir Dogs, a big success after the Weinsteins bought it, and then an even bigger success with Pulp Fiction, I think, 2 years later. But the one thing that Tarantino's always done is work very, very well with actors. Having a collaborative a way of working with them, listen to their suggestions, and really in the corner of some actors, like Samuel L. Jackson, who he wrote the role in Pulp Fiction for, like Uma Thurman, who he created The Bride for in Kill Bill. And I think that makes actors not only excited to work with them, but maybe bring down their fee a little bit, which helps those movies be more profitable.
Yeah, no kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left. His best movie, pound for pound, for you.
Oh, boy, that's a really tough one. I really like Jackie Brown because I think the relationship between Pam Grier and Robert Forster is really kind of touching in that movie, and kind of unexpected how much they care for each other. So I kind of like that one, but that's probably not the favorite for a lot of people. The only thing about his movies sometimes is they're a little long for me. I could understand the Weinstein's point of view about wanting to cut things just from, you know, let's get going and let's move along, because he is willing to have characters have conversations that have nothing to do with the plot of the movie. For example, in Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi is talking about not tipping, which is a Tarantino thing, which he had going for years. And his friends didn't like watching that scene because they had heard Tarantino say it so many times that it really doesn't have much to do with the movie. But it's an interesting conversation. But if you add all these conversations, sometimes the films get a little long. But I'll go with Jackie Brown, even though it's probably not the favorite of most people.
Yeah, I like Jackie Brown. It'd be a toss-up. Jackie Brown or Pulp Fiction probably for me. Stephen Shohat, you can catch him at HollywoodStories.com. Pick up his book by the same name. We'll talk to you again next week. Stephen, thanks so much.
You got it, kid. Hope all is well.
Thank you. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. Whatever you do, don't eat the candy.
All right, that was a little snippet of Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Jeremy Renner in that movie. Remember, he was one of the stars from Hurt Locker that really put him on the map. What is he doing in Hansel and Gretel? But it was number one at the box office. It was a weekend for the movies. $19 million is what it took in for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all 3 days combined. Silver Lining Playbook, on the other hand, which has now won a whole bunch of awards, is up to almost $70 million, had the second best weekend at the box office. And another movie that's been nominated for a whole bunch of stuff, Zero Dark Thirty, which is about the hunt for Bin Laden, that's up to almost $70 million, too, as well. That came in third this time around. And the movie we were just talking about was Stephen Shohat in our cool re-rack there, produced by the Weinstein company, the Weinstein Brothers. Django Unchained is up to $146 million. It was six this weekend at the box office, but people are going to see that movie. You heard what I said, $146 million. So that is a monster hit. If I look through all of the stuff that I have, like Les Mis, a lot of people were talking about that because of the whole Broadway thing. Obviously, we were diving into movies here for a second, but the Les Mis stuff, they're up to $138 million almost. Crazy, isn't it? And then that's a good, that gives you a good idea of what people are going to see. Argo, the movie I like that I say go and see, it's worth it, see it on the big screen. That's up to $118 million, give or take, there, and it was down on the list this weekend anyway. But I think because of some of the buzz, it's bounced back, and more people are going to see it. It was a very, very well done movie. So another night of awards, SAG Awards. You know, we were talking about nightclubs and the fires and a horrible thing that happened in Brazil. And see where we end up. We're now back at these SAG Awards. Since we threw in that segment, I wanted to throw this out to you. Argo got Best Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. Also, Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Leading Role was Daniel Day-Lewis. That was Lincoln. And I haven't seen Lincoln. Matt saw Lincoln, and he told us about it and said it was really about, you know, the kind of the final days of Abraham Lincoln. The Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Lead Role, that was Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor, Support, Tommy Lee Jones, that was Lincoln. Performance by a Female Actor in a Supporting Role, Anne Hathaway, Les Mis. And then you go on from there for some of the television things. I'll just mention two shows that I like. There's a show that I watch, Breaking Bad. It's about producing meth. But seriously, if you go and watch it, you will like it. I'm not going to give you all the details of it. Bryan Cranston is in it. He's good. He got the Male Actor nod for a dramatic series. Another series that I watch, it's called Homeland, and there's been tons of jokes about Homeland because it's all about terrorism and chasing after terrorists, and Claire Danes got the female actor in a dramatic series for this, and so those are my two things that I would watch. Since I don't really watch that much Tube, and I would recommend both of those shows to you, you'd probably like them. The one last one I'll say was Outstanding Performance by a stunt ensemble in a television series, Game of Thrones. When I was in Ireland, we were down by the soundstage where they actually filmed that in Belfast. And then Outstanding Action Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in a Motion Picture. Can you guess what it is? Skyfall. They did a lot of stunts in that movie, if you remember. We move from Hollywood and what happened at the box office. Just a quick reminder, we do our cheap movie reviews one segment at the tail end of the week on our Friday show. If you go and see a movie, I know we're always talking about all politics all the time and the things that infuriate us, that things that are wrong with the country, and then a couple of high fives to people that are doing stuff for Made in the USA and stuff like that. But I know some of you do the escapism thing and you watch movies. If you go and you catch a good movie, or you're flipping around doing a Netflix, Vudu, whatever, streaming thing, and you catch a good one, let me know. Send it to me. Tell us why. Give us a few little factoids. Send it to americatonight.net. Click on contact, and then you're in, because we'll use it on the cheap movie reviews and give people, you know, some of your reviews, kind of like our own version of Rotten Tomatoes, if you will. Sort of like Rotten Tomatoes. All right, I wanted to throw a couple of last things out here in this final turn that happened over the weekend that are worth noting, and one of them is this one. The over the weekend, you might not have noticed this, but I did, because I actually had to go and mail something. Do you know that the price of a first class stamp has now gone up to 46 cents? Yes, it's true. If you want to mail a letter to your high school pal or your college roommate or whoever, it'll cost 46 cents. You want to flip them a postcard? 33 cents. It's gone up, trying to save the post office. How long before we don't have Saturday service? Just when you really want something to come in the mail, that's when that's going to happen. Because they're going bankrupt, don't have enough money. Talking about people taking early buyouts, all that kind of stuff. One of the things they were talking about in Illinois, besides the weather, because of freezing rain and ice and whatnot, is the fact that Illinois became the fourth and the biggest state to give illegal immigrants permission to drive. Yes, it's true. Democratic Governor Pat Quinn signed this into law over the weekend. He signed the Illinois measure on Sunday. So Quinn was one of the backers. Not surprisingly, Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, backed it. Some of the state's top Republicans said the same thing. They're arguing that facial recognition technology is reliable enough to prevent fraud. Because here's the problem. There's been a lot of fraud in getting these driver's licenses. So in Illinois, what they're saying is if they've got facial recognition, that will stop that. And they pass the driver's licenses for people who don't have documents. And, you know, look at New Mexico. They have had hundreds of fraudulent cases, hundreds, not just in New Mexico, in Washington and Utah. Once they said, hey, you're in the country illegally, you can still drive, they started to see that they would have problems when they stopped people and things would happen. And, you know, people who are proponents of this say it's going to allow maybe 250,000 or more people who aren't legally in the state in Illinois to apply for a 3-year temporary driver's license and require them to get training and insurance. So it's better if they do that. And, you know, once they get these licenses, which won't be available until they're starting in October. And it's, but what a big change it is. You know, there for people that are there in Illinois who couldn't get one. And it's different in every state. I mean, the game is different in every state, but they busted a fraud ring in North Carolina, in a couple of other states where they were trying to get a New Mexico license. And, I mean, here's the problem. The Republican governor, Susan Martinez, is vowing to repeal that the measure that they had in place, but the legislature is not going for it. They're not doing it. And there was even a piece in I want to say it was New York Times Magazine, something like that. I don't know. I was just reading about it, and I actually read the piece. But, and this was about the requirements in Washington and, you know, chronicling how one reporter got a Washington license. They did an investigation and came up with the fact that this guy who was trying to get the license didn't actually live at the address he stated in the application, and he canceled his license. But he initially talked about how easy it was to get the license, and then this is the problem. Because what are you showing to get the license, and how many people are, you know, using these to give the licenses out to other people and creating these rings where you've got people that have driver's licenses and it's not even the right people, sadly. So now Illinois joins the group along with everybody else. We'll see how it works out for them. It just is signed into law and they'll start rolling it out in October. Ooh, good luck in Illinois.
Come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.